Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Tunnel screen to Shakir, works his way through a tackler, stays on his feet, breaks away from another, 20, 10, 5, Khalil Shakir, slippery as ever. Play clock at one, handoff to Kamara, who is slammed and dropped by the rookie, Deion Walker.
It's Mike Shope.
Orbit motion, it's a reverse. Alave going Philly special, and it's intercepted by Cole Bishop at the 2-yard line, and up the sideline he goes. What a play by Cole Bishop.
And the Bulldog
fakes the handoff to Cook. Allen gonna run it. Tucks it, and he reaches the goal line. The beast has been released as he takes it in on a 5-yard touchdown run. Fakes the throw to the flat, looks down the sideline. He's got Kincaid, who's going to walk it in for a 23-yard touchdown.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm not sure other teams should be allowed to run the Philly special. I mean, most famous plays are not named for teams. So go have fun with your hook and ladder and your tush push, you know? Like, I don't want to run the brotherly shove, but I'll run the tush push. I mean, I don't want to run the Philly special unless we can come up with some other name. Let's just throw a wrinkle in so that the coach, when the game, if it works, yeah, after the game, say, actually, that was not what that was, because we did this instead. If you if you actually look for it, you'll see it.
Right. I just love. I thought Chris did a great job to work. I think everyone knows what that means. You're a football fan. I mean, not everyone. I suppose my parents were listening to the game for some reason, not watching it, which I'm assuming they would have been watching it. But if they were listening, maybe my mom wouldn't have known what the Philly special is. But maybe my dad too. Not to be sexist. But you know, I think most football fans of a certain age know that reference. And I thought Chris did a great job to just in the flow of that, just say it. Just as it's unfolding in front of him. Hey, this is the Philly special. That was pretty good.
You know, there's good and then less good from yesterday, and you're welcome to come to us with what you're thinking about the most. 803-0550 is the number. It's funny to say this because it's what we talked about every day for so long, but it's probably time to have another James Cook talk, you know? I mean, game after game is going by, and he's just killing it. Like, It's kind of enough already with what he isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, this other guy will play more snaps. This guy can catch the ball better. This guy's bigger. All the different areas where individually he might not be like very top notch, but what he is, not what he isn't, what he is here now, and now being like the last 2 years. It says a lot. Like, it's working. I mean, that's just the very most modest way to put it. And Allen, again, yesterday, and you can make excuses for this, like who they played and everything, but, he didn't need to really carry them. And it could, because Cook is doing enough. Like, the line is good. And the threat that Allen poses, of course, makes it easier. And that's been one of my counterpoints on him. Well, both of those things, actually. Like, you've got to have the blocking, and you want to have the quarterback being the running threat and just the overall threat that Allen is. I mean, James Cook has it good here. There's no question about that. But he's doing about as much as you could do with it, given how much he plays.
Yeah.
And what has happened to Davis, if anything,
is interesting. That's what I'm waiting to bring up here is, I mentioned it with Eric Wood. Like, I know this, file this under, gee, I wish I had your problems, right? Like, I'm wondering what happened to the Bills' backup running back, right? That's my concern today, is what's going on with the backup running back. But, like, there was more of a timeshare last year. You know, Cook was ahead of the other two, but Davis was, like, getting equal time with Ty Johnson, basically, I think, is the way it worked. I don't know if that shook out in touches necessarily. It certainly wouldn't have been receptions, because Johnson was their third down back and caught more passes, I'm pretty sure, than Ray Davis, although I got to go back and look at last year. But Davis is a ghost. I mean, again, another game goes by here, and we're talking about, what, one carry?
Yeah,
so
for three.
It's not... On one hand, you could say, like, that's not going very well. But on the other hand, he's not even really getting up. You know, he's getting one carry in a game. What am I supposed to draw conclusions about? Like, is something wrong with him or something? They don't like blocking for him or something? I'm not positing any of that. I just think it's very interesting that Cook is being trusted with that much more of a workload. And this is not me saying he doesn't deserve it. He's always been the most talented of those three guys. But the question for me about his usage in the previous season, and if you want to go back further than that, but really last year was the breakout year, and then we started talking about a contract. It was like, no, they like doling it out the way they're doling it out. Davis will have a role. Ty Johnson absolutely has a role. That hasn't really changed with Johnson, but Davis just does not exist here from a getting touches standpoint. And I just hope, because I don't know, maybe Cook, we've never seen him do it. Maybe he can handle 56 or 60% snap share up from 47 or 48 or whatever it was last year. I just want to be careful about it. Like, his value, it's switched to me now. He's demonstrating how good he is and thus how valuable he is that I want to make sure I don't overdo it. Because I'm not ready to assume that Ray Davis can just do something similar to what James Cook is doing. It looks like the Bills don't think that anymore.
Well, is that how you've thought about this before, this year? Because I can't say that I have. I mean, it's not going to be necessarily identical because, you know, one guy was a better prospect and has more time with the starters, you know, timing and all of what goes into executing these plays. You know, it's not really a fair fight. But I would say it's been close enough. When Cook missed a game last year, Davis was fine in his stead. So to me, you know, part of the thinking on Cook is like, I don't think I'd miss him if he's not there. And for a lot of the summer, we were thinking about that possibility. Like, will he be there? So, I mean, it's not as easy to say that now.
No, I don't want to say it at all. In fact, what I'm saying is, protect him because I want to. I don't think it's as interchangeable. I think I was mistaken to have thought that it wouldn't be that big of a deal if he weren't there, or if they didn't pay him, if he got mad and went home, or whatever we were talking about before the contract extension happened. I don't think you can assume that anymore with how it's going.
But
again, Davis hasn't really even gotten the chance, which is maybe the most curious part about it at all, that he doesn't have a game with seven carries even yet. You know, like, it just is not happening.
Yeah, well, he has not gotten anywhere. You know, like, I wonder, Cook has been very good, and there's no need necessarily to look harder at it than that. I mean, he has deserved his volume, and he's mm-hmm. paid them off. But like, Davis this year is 11 for 29. He had 9 carries in the Jet game for 24 yards.
Okay.
And, you know, that was a blowout.
Right.
But he didn't get anywhere. And in the other three games, he's combined 2 for 5.
You know,
and he has 1 catch for -1. Like, there's nothing happening.
I heard a bit of the pregame show yesterday. Jeremy and Joe were talking about this, and I heard Jeremy make the point, and I don't have this. It's easy enough to do. Maybe I can do it in a few minutes here. But look at the games where Davis carried the ball significantly, and the games
last year.
The game scripts might not be The scores, final scores may not be indicative of what the game was like in the second quarter or the third quarter, right? But the games where he got touches that Cook played, of course, the Jet game is an exception because Cook missed that last year and Davis was the number one guy in that game. But the other games, the games where the Bills win by a lot are the games where he gets the touches.
Sure.
Just like the Jet game, which makes sense. So what I think Jeremy was driving at, and maybe this is a sensible way to look at it, is that, at least I would say this for myself, hearing Jeremy point that out made me think, maybe I overreacted to a few blowouts. Like, there's not as much of a timeshare as we think. Whatever the snap percentages are affected by what the game situation is. So if Davis is eating into James Cook in games that they're comfortable in, well, that makes sense. You want to protect your number one guy. But it's not like they're getting a change of pace for Davis in a game that's tight. It's our number one guy's out there. You know, like we're playing our dude.
Let me say here, yes and no. He had three games last year where he had double-digit carries. One of them is Week 18, where Cook sat most of the game. Not all of it. He scored his touchdown.
Brought him in to score his touchdown, right.
Number one is the Jet game where Cook was inactive. Number three, because the Week 18 New England game is number two. That can be discounted. Number three is San Francisco. And that game did get away from San Francisco, but the Bills' second drive is a Davis drive. And he scores the touchdown to finish the drive. He puts them up 7-3.
Good.
That game did become, you know, kind of a blowout. But still, like, it was before they got ahead. That's just one game.
Right. But still, that's a game that you would have in mind where he got a lot of touches and it ended up being a crooked score. But no, so what they're not doing is, if they are getting him a series early, he's not getting anywhere, and then that's it. Like, we're done for the day. James Cook and Ty Johnson, you know, you go have at it here. And I wonder if they will make some effort to try to reestablish that. Because I do think it is important to protect. It's more important now, I feel like, with the way these first four games have looked, to make sure you are protecting Cook and not overdoing it. And Davis is the answer to that. So let's see if you can get him, you know, get him going so that you've got, you know, the alternative and the opportunity to make sure you're pacing Cook effectively. I don't want to get to December and January and have a guy that has, like, he's got an all-time high in carries and maybe looks like it.
Yeah, I get that. Well, you know, Cook is still young enough, right? Like, we're not talking about Barkley off 400 touches or, and they have limited him coming into this year. And I don't think it matters what they're paying him for any of this. So it feels like it's okay, you know? But what you're saying is just you got to be careful. And, of course, that's right. But it feels like it's okay, you know? I wonder if something is different with Davis. I haven't heard anything.
Right.
But he just – and it wasn't like he's never been lightning or anything like that. I mean, Davis is a big physical runner, but he's not somebody who's going to, like, usually break plays off for you. And I don't know if this year is – if it's been enough to even be able to cast a fair judgment. It's just like – he doesn't have a good play yet.
I'm trying to remember. That's right. I'm trying to remember if there was anything in the summer that he talked about, even like as camp was beginning, like, yeah, you know, I wanted to get a little lighter or something. Did he change? I wonder if he changed anything. That doesn't have to explain whatever's happening, because it is such, it's four games. And so it's not, you know, it's not just one game, but it is still a very small, his attempts is a very small sample size. It's four games, which is not that small, but 11 carries in those four games. I can't draw conclusions at all. I don't think it would be right to, about did he change something and therefore he's not as effective anymore.
And again, it's not just 11 carries. It's two in three of the games.
Right.
Total.
That's right.
And
right.
It's nine in garbage time against the Jets.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really like it's a super backup role.
He's not really a part of the offense right now at all.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, that's Davis, but Cook, I mean, he's second in the league in rushing behind Jonathan Taylor. He's first alone in rushing touchdowns, with five, which last year he tied for the league lead in rushing touchdowns. He got 21 rushing touchdowns in 21 regular season games. And how many games in a row? 7 or 8 in a row? Like, this is record stuff.
It's 8 now. Yeah. It was 7 going into yesterday, and they got him his touchdown. And, yeah, so that goes on.
A caller to postgame wanted to, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to hide from how I felt about Cook in the past, which is just to say, like, yeah, he's good, but I'm not going to go crazy. And I think at times the conversations I've gotten into with callers and with people are people who sound like they're just way up here on him. The one guy calls us once in a while to talk about OJ.
Right.
You know, and first team All-Pro stuff. I mean, he might have a look at that this year. He'll have to keep this up. Still, like, to me, and you don't have to agree with this, but the very top tier of guys, yesterday's guy was, he's got to be top 5 in the league. And, you know, I said, because I'm, you know, a stubborn Scorpio, I said, do we need to do top 5 in the league at week 4? Like, you know, you can do anything you want whenever you want to do it, but is it time to recalibrate that list and maybe take Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry off of it? Do we need to do that? At the end of the season, we'll want to do that. You want to do that today, you can.
He's outperforming them both right now.
By far.
There's no question about that.
By far.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Taylor, Bijan, Gibbs, Genty yesterday. I mean, he's an elite all-time prospect. ETN, even, I have to say, he's somebody. I don't draft Cook and I don't draft ETN. And this year, like,
he had a big run yesterday. Yeah. Early.
He had a big game, too. I mean, the thinking there quickly was new regime, holdover running back who's only been like this level of efficient. Maybe they'll make a change, but they absolutely have not. That they've leaned into him. So, okay, you know, Jacobs last night, whatever. I mean, you could.
Top 5 in the league right now is not outrageous. He's leading the league in rushing and or up there at the top and leading the league in rushing touchdowns. Like, it's not heresy to say he's ranking there.
I think you can say that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what? I don't know. I'm going to hang on to the usage thing. Not to like have a gotcha moment if something happens to him. I just, you know, he does. I heard Eric, I don't think he got into it with us very much, but I heard him talking about this, I think, with Chris and Steve earlier today. He doesn't get hit, really. Like, he's very good about, you know, getting down when he needs to get down and just avoiding any kind of really big contact. But that's not even, I think that way more about a quarterback than I do a running back. It's not nothing, but to me, just... You're leaning on a guy for 20-plus carries a game, just anything, like the turf. I mean, the turf got Malik Nabers yesterday. Thankfully, the Bills don't play at MetLife Stadium. Oof. But, you know, anything can get you. So I just want to be careful about how much I'm leaning on him at this point. But he's been excellent, and he has deserved the carries. I just hope they don't go too hard at it.
The Bills get Bijan Robinson in 2 weeks. And unless their defense changes, you're going to start to see, if you play fantasy football seriously, you know, playing against Buffalo is like a top matchup for a running back, because they're just getting pretty much destroyed against the run. Yesterday was Kendre Miller. I mean, I know who that is. Not everybody's going to know who that is. And, you know, the backup for the Saints, And he looked good, I thought, in that game. The touchdown run was real nice, but he's running through guys.
Yeah, he ran through a tackle in the hole and got, like, Trey White had a look at him but didn't seem really that up for it. And maybe there's another tackle he breaks on that run too. So that's the thing, yeah. And sadly, that's week six, Atlanta, Bijan Robinson. You're not – maybe you get Oliver and Milano back by then, but you're not getting the suspended guys back. The reinforcements, some of them aren't eligible until after that week.
That's also Atlanta's next game.
Yeah, they're on bye, right.
They beat Washington yesterday. Been a strange team so far. And then have the bye in week five. Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and
– Green Bay.
And Green Bay. Well, they got to be exhausted. Green Bay. They have to be. They need the bye because they've got to be so tired after last night. 40-40. What a beauty that game was. What a beauty. Do we like at all that the game had to end in a tie? Does that really fly? I mean, they really just couldn't keep going. Next score wins. 40-40.
I know. From a player safety standpoint, I'm not up for extending regular season games any more than they're already extended.
Okay, fine.
But it's not. I mean, it's far from perfect. Obviously, you'd like to avoid it, but I just don't know the answer.
At least college got around to putting a limit on overtimes. Not exactly. I mean, after the first overtime in college football, the second you have to go for two.
It's that soon, the second one.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the third is only 2-point plays, back and forth.
Okay.
That's it. After the second overtime, the third overtime on is you try for two, I try for two. If we both make it or both miss it, we do it again.
Okay. Is that what I missed when I fell asleep during Virginia, Florida State Friday night? Because that game went to overtime, and I bailed out when it got – I did not know about this rule change in college football. I've not stayed with a college football game long enough to get to two-point tries. When it went to overtime, I was like, nobody is stopping anyone on this, and I'm going to be up until 3 in the morning.
I'm out.
I'm out. I got the alarm is set for 5:30. I got an early tea time. I'm done. But I mean, that game was super fun to watch. I mean, like just a great college football game. If you like when nobody can play defense, basically, like just really, really fun watching the quarterbacks work in that game.
Oregon, Penn State went to the second overtime, and Penn State got picked off to end the game. And that game was like 3-3. For a while.
Yeah.
And it went over the 53.
Mm.
That's one thing about the overtimes in college that can really...
They really pile it up.
That's not a great feeling to lose on those. I didn't. I lost on the picks. I had Penn State. And then it's 30-24 Oregon in the second overtime. And I'm giving 3.5 on the show here. And I'm like, there's literally no way I can win.
Right.
Anymore. In the old days, just...
Right.
In the fifth overtime, I get a touchdown. You don't. I win. But that's not how it works anymore.
Right.
Football Monday on WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 8:03:05:50. What's your attitude about yesterday's Bills win over the Saints? We'll be back after the update. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.